I'm also listening, not to you, your singing is great, but to what the Lord is saying, afresh, anew, just before we begin. And this morning I heard him say, tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. And I kind of paused and, thank you for coming and giving your worship today. I think that little phrase that we stopped by just for a while a week or so ago, you don't go to church to get something. You gather to worship to give something. That's the difference. And so the next person that says, I didn't get anything out of that, okay, better back up, okay? Better back up. But the Lord would have me say to you, thank you for coming to worship and giving your worship today. So we're in 1 Peter 5. Let's begin with verse 1. We looked at this last week, but it needs to be put together, especially if you were not with us last week. So in verse 1, so I exhort the elders among you, Peter said. Now we understand when Peter says it, who said it to him, don't we? We get that? This is not just Peter waxing eloquent. This is what he has heard from God the Holy Spirit, and that's why he wrote it down. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partakers in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd, he's talking to the elders now. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In chapter 5, we're kind of finishing up last week's teaching. Last week, we spent the whole time looking at who are the elders. And those are out there on the web page and that kind of thing under, what is it, Listen Still? And if you missed that or want to pick that up, the first part of this, it's out there for you, okay? It's free of charge. In chapter 5, Peter has turned to the responsibilities and the behaviors of those in the body of Christ. This is not a spectator sport, folks. This is not a spectator sport. There are responsibilities. There are expected behaviors that Peter is going to be very specific about in chapter 5. And he starts with the elders. And so we answered that question last week. Who are the elders? And that is meant to be plural because the church, according to the New Testament, there is no place in the New Testament where it is stated that there is any type of governance in the church besides God setting aside elders, plural, to lead the church. Now, I understand that you probably came from some backgrounds that wasn't that type of governance. But that is not consistent with the New Testament. All right? Last week, we looked very briefly at some of those. An elder-led congregation is that prescribed in the New Testament, as opposed to a congregational model. That would be where the people are in charge and they vote on the things that they want to see happen in the church. That's a congregational model. You will not find that anywhere in the New Testament. You will not find that. And then also there is an episcopal model, and that's where there is one man. And I think in some denominations, or lady, okay? And that one person is in charge of the church. They're the CEO. So those three models are out there. And Peter is clearly speaking here today about the elder-led model, okay? Which is the only one. So what are the responsibilities of these men he is calling elders? And that's not to be sexist. If you were with us last week, we discovered that there is no place in Scripture where there is feminine singular, I think it is, in reference to leadership in the church. You just won't find it. It's not there. So if you are a person who lives your life according to the Word of God, those are two things that you might want to highlight if you're confused at all. That's what the New Testament, God's Word, teaches. So let's look this morning at the responsibilities of elders that Peter tells us about. The first thing he does is he addresses the pastoral care responsibility of the elders. That's kind of where some of this maybe got confused. Okay? All elders are to exhibit ongoingly and consistently the pastoral care for the flock of God, he calls the church, the flock of God. So he says very matter-of-factly, shepherd the flock of God that is among you exercising oversight. He sets it forth. That's your responsibility, elders. Now, did you notice that Peter said the flock of God? Did you catch that? Not the flock of the elders. And that's not just semantics. This is not the elders' church. And for that, it's not your church either. To speak in terms of my church, we probably need to be getting a habit to change that. It is not our church. It is His church. It is the body of Christ. So when Peter says the flock of God, he's meaning, I believe, to emphasize, it's not your flock, Bubba. This doesn't belong to you. You are hired in to care for the flock of God. It's never my church. Elders are selected by God, set aside by God to care for His flock and to provide the care and oversight for the church, the body of Christ. Elders are to watch over, pray for, provide for the needs of, is ever with, agonizes over, seeks out those who stray, binds up those who are hurting, individualizes attention to, is always available in the midst of the flock, and corrects wayward ones who stray from the flock. I hope you caught all that, all right? And we could add a lot more to that. All of that is under this umbrella of oversight. And he, like Jesus, used that analogy of a flock, a literal flock of sheep. And Jesus used that on a number of occasions. And so Peter is, when he says shepherd the flock, he is drawing on some of that analogy. Shepherds care for the sheep. I don't know if you remember, once upon a time there was an elder here, David Whitlock, and he was a sheep person. He was raised raising sheep, and I think his dad still has sheep somewhere in Oklahoma. And that, he knew a lot about sheep. And I still remember that teaching he gave that Sunday morning, drawing the analogy even more so than what we'll see in Scripture sometimes. One of the things that you might be interested in as shepherds care for sheep, that last one we looked at, is he corrects the wayward ones. Because sheep are not smart, I understand. They get their head down, they start eating, they don't look up, and they'll walk off a cliff, they'll walk into a ditch, into a briar patch. I don't know anything about sheep, but I've heard that about them, okay? So what the shepherd will do sometimes for those sheep that have a tendency to stray, they will take that sheep, okay, and they will break its legs, at least one, so that it can't walk, so that it can't stray. Well, relax, we don't do leg breaking here, okay? So, no, but I always thought, that might work. I don't know, okay? All right. Well, all of that and more is what Peter is talking about when he talks about exercising oversight. Elders, those charged with watching over the flock of God. That's what Dwayne Banner and Chuck Lentz and Andy Yon and John Wheeler are given to do. Daylight, dark, 24/7, all of the time, that's our responsibility. All right? Don't be bashful. We're not busy people. We are focused people on this body of believers first, and then whatever else we do is after that. You with me? This is the priority. This is the priority. You are the priority. You are robbing us of our responsibility if you don't get your hand in the air or your finger on the text or whatever to let us know of the needs and cares and concerns in your life. All right. So that's what Peter is talking about, exercising oversight. Then he says, not under compulsion, but willingly. Being an elder of a body of believers is not a job. It is not a profession. It is a calling. It is a calling from God. And there is a burden of care that goes with that calling. And after a lot of years of experiencing this as an elder, folks, sometimes this burden is almost unbearable. This is the responsibility. It's not a job. It's a calling. There's a burden of care, not a burden of compulsion. Never, ever will an elder say, nor should they say, well, I have to do it. Well, that guy needs to check in his credentials. If there is a burden of compulsion, that guy is in the wrong assignment. He snuck in under the door or something. This is a calling. It's not a job. He then goes on to say, as God would have you. You see, elders are under shepherds to the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And it is His flock. And so elders are under shepherds, always consistent with what the chief shepherd is saying and doing. No mavericking on this one. You don't get the options. In fact, if there is a decision to be made, it is made after much prayer and fasting related to that issue. You don't operate off the cuff, because the chief shepherd has his word and his ways and the direction that that body is to go, or that specific issue with that person, and the under shepherds have to be consistent with that. And never, ever will what elders do be inconsistent with the Word of God. We've had you ask us some things that were hard to apply that. Some issues concerning a lot of things, okay? And what you were asking was different than what the Word says. And we've had to say so. And it hurt. It stung in some times. Because the desire for whatever it was, and there have been many of those whatevers, you wanted to do. And we had to be honest with you. And we will always be honest with you, always in alignment with the Word of God and the will of God. Never using teaching or counseling that violates the Word. If we don't know what the Word says, then we're going to say, I'll need to get back with you on that. And then after hours of searching the Word, we will bring back what the Word of God says about that. Hopefully we know up front at that time. Never refusing to say or do what God is leading to be done. That's what Peter's talking about, as God would have you to. It all comes under the authority of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And then he says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. The motivation for elders is never, let me emphasize that word, never shameful gain or receiving special privileges or serving for money or to inflate the elder's ego. That all comes under that umbrella of shameful gain. It is never about what elders get. It is always about what elders give. Now that opens up another bag of worms. And Never been one not to turn down a good bag of worms when it needed opening, okay? That being said, I am well aware of the phrase in Scripture that says, don't muzzle the ox. All right? You'll find that in the law, first of all, in Deuteronomy 25:4. And in that passage, where the law is, it's part of the law, that means a real ox, you don't put a muzzle on it so the ox can't eat while it's working. All right? And so it's against the Mosaic law to muzzle an ox while it's working, feed the ox. Well, Paul took that same idea, that same phrase in 1 Corinthians 9 and 1 Timothy 5, used the same language. Don't muzzle the ox. But he wasn't talking about a real oxen. What he was talking about there is justification for paying elders, or if it's a congregation church, the pastor, all right? Even though that doesn't appear in the New Testament anywhere. That appeared somewhere, just for your curiosity. Where do we come up with pastors then? Why is that? Why do churches have pastors and that kind of thing? They don't appear, pastors don't appear until the Middle Ages with a group of people known as separatists, all right? They were separating from, all right? They were called separatists. We see it leaking into the Puritans somewhat. And then when the people came from England to the New World, a group of people settled in Rhode Island who were Baptists. And they were congregational churches because they wanted to resist the hierarchy of the Church of England and the Catholic Church. And so they stepped aside and nobody's going to tell us what to do. I don't know if they found out that somebody has to tell us what to do, so they decided that they would vote on it, I guess. Okay. Anyway, that's the way it came about. And so that goes back there to the middle and late Middle Ages. And these churches in Rhode Island prided themselves on being autonomous. Autonomous means the decisions made here are made here. We don't have to call Nashville, or we don't have to get a hold of the hierarchy, or we don't get a hold of the bishop in. An autonomous church is a church that calls the shots on site. No referencing anywhere. And so you're saying, so the congregational churches were autonomous, and that's the reason they became congregational churches. Can an elder-led congregation be autonomous? Yes. Yes. Okay? We are autonomous within these four walls, if you will, among this body. And, you know, we identify as a Southern Baptist church, but folks, if Jefferson City or Nashville calls up this afternoon and said, hey, you people down there in Baller, Wellspring, you need to do so-and-so. You know what my response is going to be? Click. Is that yours, Andy? Chuck? Dwayne? Okay. Boy, that's freeing, isn't it? Huh? You know, most churches, most Protestant churches, have a central office, an overseer, a bishop, somebody that tells them everything to do. And they even tell the pastor when he has to leave and assign to wherever they want to send him. Whew. All right. So, I get it. Okay? According to the New Testament, it's not wrong to pay or compensate the elders or pastors if it's a congregational church. The point of emphasis here is Peter says, those who serve as elders should not be doing what they're doing for shameful gain. Now, full disclosure, for 29 years, and most of you are aware of this, okay, for 29 years, Wellspring Baptist Fellowship has never paid elders who serve here. Never happened, okay? Unless you kind of peach pie from CC every now and then. That okay. For 29 years, that has been the practice of this church and will continue to be. So if you're saying, hey, that's a pretty good gig, you know, you show up and, you know, there's nothing to get, all right? Because there's no compensation. And that will continue to be the practice. The elders here have and will continue to serve without monetary compensation. You know, as I pondered that thought as I got there, you can't dodge that shameful gain phrase that Peter uses. I just pondered that a little bit, and my mind started running away, okay? And so I just started jotting some things down. And these are my calculations, okay? If you can probably go get Jeff or Mark or Troy, those guys, they give you exact figures. But what I went with was 29 years, okay, and four elders, and they were each paid $20,000 a year, which is not highbrow wages, okay? But four elders paid for 29 years, paid $20,000 each, or a total of $80,000 every year for elder salaries. Do you know in 29 years what that estimate comes to? My figures again. $2.4 million. $2.4 million. No, we're not starting today, Dwayne. Okay, so back out there, okay? I was overwhelmed. I mean, you know, I wasn't dumb. I knew it would be a little bit, but I didn't realize it would be that. And that's without any benefit packages. A lot of benefit packages amount to 25 to 30% of salary sometimes. But none of that has been done here in these 25 years. Instead, that $2.4 million has gone to missionaries and mission activities around the world. Your tithes and offerings have circled the globe. I am waiting till glory to find out the thousands, the tens of thousands, maybe more, of people who are in heaven because the tithes and offerings that you gave put that person eyeball to eyeball with them in Africa, like we heard a week or so ago, last week, I guess, and or like in India, or like Thailand, or Haiti, and we could go on 29 different mission outposts. That's not counting what has happened locally in this body in times of need. Folks, your tithes and offerings have filled the gas tanks of more than a few churches in this area when they ran out of money and couldn't fill the gas tank in the middle of winter. Your tithes and offerings went for that. And then all of the other benevolent areas that you have given to, and it wasn't given to an elder's salary. But I understand what the Word says, okay? But I'm not hungry. You hungry, Andy? Chuck? Dwayne? All right, the ox don't need feeding. All right? We'll send the grain on down. Another advantage is that in the absence would be the absence of the fear of the person getting paid that they have to do and be certain things so they'll continue to get paid. You get it? If that heaviness is there, well, I can't say that. You know, if I bring that up, the folks will get upset. They'll get these little groups started, and they may get enough leverage and vote me. I'll get fired. So I've got to watch what I say. And I've got to know every time somebody's in the hospital, I've got to be there, because if I don't go, then they'll start talking about it, and then they could fire me for that. If you don't get paid, you don't get fired. You see it? You don't know how liberating that is. Also, when the church doesn't pay salaries, here's the good one. All of these others has been great, the giving to the missionary. But here's the great one, all right? When there's nobody getting paid to do the work of the ministry, guess who does the work of the ministry? You all. And you are. And you have. You see, it's a body. We step up according to the spiritual gift we've been given for the body of Christ to flourish. And folks, I'm here to tell you, 29 years later, it works. It works. To God be the glory. There's also Tracy, Michelle, Joanna, Trina, take this home to her, okay? There are no special privileges for elders' wives. No, none. Okay? You don't get to call any shots either. All right? So it's not a rank and file thing. Well, they're the wife of an elder, so they... No. No special privileges, wives. There are no special privileges for elders and no special privileges for elders' wives. No perks in store. That said, in just a minute, I'll tell you about the compensation package that we are going to get, though. So hang on there, okay? Peter goes on, he says, not domineering over to the elders. Oversight, but not domineering over. No bosses. Nobody in charge. This is serving as a shepherd provides for the flock of God, whatever that means. And elders must be examples to the flock in belief, in service, in commitment and obedience. No exceptions there, guys. All right. Well, there is a compensation package, okay? And Peter's going to talk about that in verse 4. Look at it with me. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive, speaking to elders still, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I'm not sure what that is. In fact, I don't know what it is. An unfading crown of glory. I did see who gives it out. The chief shepherd. Jesus Christ Himself. And when the chief shepherd appears, a point in time when He is going to say to the elders of a local body of believers, here is your crown of glory. Here is your crown of glory. I don't know what that is. There are actually several crowns mentioned in Scripture. We won't go into these in any detail. The crown of life, the crown incorruptible, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness. But this one is reserved for those who have served as faithful elders in the body of Christ during this lifetime. Kelly was quick to remind me. He reads ahead a little bit, okay? Carl reads ahead too. Maybe the rest of you do, but he read ahead, okay? And when he saw this, he said, and I know what you're going to do with that crown. I know what you're going to do with that crown. We're going to cast him at his feet. You know, wouldn't it be antithetical to life around Jesus who gave his life if you got a crown, whatever that crown was? I don't know if a real... I don't know, okay? But let's say it was a gold crown with diamonds and all that in it, all right? I mean, if you're going to call it a crown of glory, if God's going to call it that, it must be impressive. To wear that around through heaven for eternity, just say, see my crown? Huh? See my crown? Huh? When we know He gave His very life for us? I think that's one of the reasons we cast Him at His feet. Through the years, these 29 years, God has been faithful. He's been faithful to appoint and to prune elders at Wellspring Baptist Fellowship, both according to His will. He did the appointing, He did the pruning. There have been many through the years. I can give you a name, rank, and serial number, but I won't do that. Who have wanted to be an elder. I guess they were going through the paper, and they got down there to Wellspring, and they saw no pastor listed, so they figured it was an open game, and so they were going to get in. I guess. I don't know. But I've literally, I don't know if these other guys have or not, but I have actually had people come to me and volunteer to be an elder. They weren't appointed by God. They were appointed by themselves. And that is not the requirement of an elder. God does the appointing. Some of these folks were looking for a source of extra money. And some of them were honest enough to say so. I need some extra money. Thinking that if I go to, if I get this elder gig there, then I get some extra money. Because, you know, you get paid. And do you know, after I told them that that wasn't the case, they were no longer interested? Does that tell you something about the appointment of that person? That's actually happened. Some were just looking for a pulpit to preach from. They had an ordination certificate at home, a license, okay. State of Missouri said, I am. So, move over, I'm going to here. No, doesn't work like that. You won't find an ordination certificate or a license on my wall at home. Andy, you got one? Chuck? Dwayne? If you have one, I'm not saying that's bad. Okay, don't go home and hide it or something. Okay? I'm just saying that I don't answer to the state of Missouri. I answer to the God of this universe. And He's the one that set me and this guy and this guy and that guy aside. Not the state of Missouri. So that's why when some of you have come in the past and said, will you marry me? I don't like funerals or weddings. I'll be honest with you, okay? That's just full disclosure, all right? I love you. I give my life for you. But I don't want to marry you, all right? I don't know why. It's just not my gig, okay? The last funeral I did, there was a guy that was going to whip me afterwards. So I'm getting a little shy on those too, all right? True story. I'll tell you someday in heaven, okay? But maybe that's the reason. They didn't want that, you know, certificate go to waste or something. I don't know, but so they came and they saw, well, I'll get a pulpit to preach from there because you don't have anybody. Some were looking for a platform to promote false doctrines. Really? Some were offended that their doctrine wasn't emphasized as it should be in their minds here, so they wanted to present that false doctrine. And that's what it was a false doctrine. It was not biblically correct. Some came because they felt they deserved to. Some of those folks have been men and up in years a little bit, retired, that kind of thing. And so they had to have something to see them through the retirement, and so they deserved to be. They gave all those years pastoring churches. A number of those folks have said, if I don't get what I want, I think about all of them if I really count them all, if I don't get what I want, I'm leaving. And they did. And they're gone. I look back on all of that, and God has done the appointing, and He's done the pruning. And I'll just leave that with you for what it is. He's been faithful to provide and to protect this body through the years. His body, His church, by appointing and pruning elders according to His will. the elders that I mentioned this morning who are presently serving, serve the body of Wellspring under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. We would encourage you, ask you, beg you to pray for us, to come along beside and serve according to the spiritual gift you've been given. All of that because the chief shepherd of this church is worthy. Worthy of all glory and all praise, which is our one and only goal, is that all we do is to bring glory and honor to Him.